All right. What's up, everybody? It's your girl Keisha from Put Your Phone Down Podcast. I have been getting awesome guests all across the boards, 10, 10, 10s, and this will not fail me. This is pretty much for our people who have our green thumbs or thinking about going out there, even if you don't have a green thumb yet. My hope is after listening to this, you'll start thinking about different ways to grow your food. Also, we're going to talk about the whiskey that he knows all about, the whiskey and the recipes. But I really want to talk to you about my guest, Joe Skibbe, who is also the founder of something excellent and important, Beets, Beds, and Browns. Before I welcome him and share him with you all, I want to say, I saw a small article on him and I thought to practice the things that he said he looks forward to that are very instrumental towards success: perseverance, curiosity, and getting the big picture. So with that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, the founder of Beets, Beds, and Browns, Mr. Joe Skibbe. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Thank you, Keisha, for that warm welcome. I truly appreciate it.
You're welcome. So, Joe, we got to go all across the board because I know I mentioned green thumb. But before we get into, you know, gardening and growing your own food, which I think is just an awesome topic and everything that you're doing, I want to also let the people know, if you go on his site, which I hope you will, he's introduced as a hip hop head who loves the garden and enjoys his brown liquor. So, Joe, where do you want to go with this? You want to start with the hip hop and incorporating this, or you want to get straight into the gardening process?
Yeah, at first, I just want to make sure that everybody listening understands that we're not for the green thumbs. We're for the guys that kill plants, the girls who can't keep it alive. We're trying to educate people on how simple it is to grow your own food. And while we do so, we're rocking out. We're listening to some good tunes. We're sipping on some brown whiskey. We're having a good time while we're doing it. But it really is about how simple it is to become a producer in the food system, to understand where your food comes from, whether you're a green thumb or whether you've killed every plant you've ever had. We're going to walk you through that process. We're going to introduce you to some interesting interviews and hopefully teach a few things. And we're going to celebrate all the time.
Now, I want to also, like you said, talking about the plants and how things are now, well, is getting a great highlight as far as, you know, having a decision if you want to go vegan or vegetarian. But it's a method to being out there growing your own food. Can you walk me through this method? I know some people have tried, some people have gotten frustrated. So now that I have you on here, just lay it all out.
Yeah, so we're going to get you started, first of all. You can go to our website, beetsbedsbrowns.com. You can register for a free seed kit. We're going to send you a seed pack. We seed save and store all of the seed that we distribute. So I think right now on our site, we have dill, we have pumpkin, we have acorn squash. When we run out of that, we have corn. When we run out of that, we have sunflowers. Everything that we provide is going to allow you to set up a kitchen grow setup, to build a pot, to build a garden, whatever it is you're comfortable with, wherever you're at in your gardening journey, you're going to be able to get your free seed kit and get started. Then all you need is a little bit of dirt, a little bit of sunlight, a little bit of water. We're going to educate you along the way. We've got steps on planting seedlings. We've got videos on transplanting into 4-inch pots. We've got videos across our social media at Beets, Beds, Browns dealing with how's it growing, as well as friend or foe, identifying different bacterial, fungal, and insect enemies and friends. So we're going to walk you through because we're learning too. We're not an expert in any of these things. I can't stress that enough. We may be a day ahead of you, maybe a couple weeks ahead of you, but we're here in this journey together, and we got to understand where our food's coming from, and we got to start eating more healthy, you know, as humanity. It's just, we're so bored down with processed foods, fast foods, and unhealthy foods that it really becomes a necessity for our continued healthful existence to eat these whole foods.
And let's get into that, because it was a few things that I kind of mentioned to you. A lot of people think that they are, you know, giving up certain meat portions and saying, okay, I'm going vegetarian. One thing I did see, and I was watching on television, is how people will go and buy a certain product thinking that it's nothing but it's packed with veggies, but you also have to pay attention to the soy. So if you can, just kind of walk me through, do you encourage people to kind of to do that? If they're not growing their own food, do you encourage them to buy the frozen foods that say that it is vegetarian?
Sure. So we are entirely label agnostic, right? We've eaten vegetarian, we've eaten vegan. We want to be eating whole food, wherever it is, however that comes. If it's pasture raised beef, pork, or chicken, if it's field raised vegetables and fruits and nuts, we just know that whole foods are better. And there's so many different diets recommended. Everybody's going to respond differently. We love eating vegan and vegetarian. There's so many different flavors that come out that we can't get enough of those recipes. And guess what? We feel better after we eat those than maybe some of the heavy stuffed, overfilled feelings that we get from meat sometimes. So we're not an advocate for any particular diet, and we encourage people to try as many things as possible. My wife in particular didn't eat a lot of the vegetables that we eat daily, and they just add so much variety and flavor to our diet. Now we can't imagine not eating those things. So when we grow it, when we can go into the garden in spring and summer and pull immediately out of the garden what we're going to eat that night for dinner, there's a flavor difference. There's a mineral and nutrient density difference. It's healthier for you. There's no arguing against that fact. It's when it's fresh from the garden, it's grown, it has a higher nutrient profile than things bought in the grocery, you know, that are commercially produced.
And I wanted to touch on that. When you mentioned you feel healthier, I have a few friends that have definitely decided, you know, I want to eat clean. They do, although I'm not a doctor, I can't tell anybody what to do afterwards. They even mentioned a difference in their mood swings just from giving up food and going straight vegan or vegetarian. They said they can actually tell. So, I mean, I know you mentioned that, but do you remember when you started to feel different?
Absolutely. It's kind of incremental. You know, we started, before we had kids, we were active in the fitness industry, and we started eating a paleo diet, right? So high protein, high fat. Then you eliminate a lot of the processed sugars. Well, then you're kind of on that routine. If you have a treat for a holiday or a snack food comes into play, you're like, wow, I really noticed that salt content or that sugar content, and it gives you a headache or it gives you some tightness in your neck or whatnot. So it doesn't happen immediately, and you have to kind of lose or desensitize yourself to the normal American diet that's heavily processed and high in sugar. To be able to have those feelings come to you, you've got to not be eating the 1,000 milligrams of sugar that everyone consumes, you know, before breakfast. So it really is a case of building a sensitivity and noticing what's going in your body and then determining the response from that to where you get that feeling of this is better. This is better than I used to feel. This is because I'm eating healthy. When I don't eat healthy, I feel worse. And that evolves over time. For us anyways. Yeah.
And you're right. It's like it is a difference. Like I haven't gone full on. Okay. But it is sometimes I might say, okay, let me give up meats for a while. Me personally, I noticed there is an energy burst, you know, to the point I'm like, wait, I could actually do this. But I want to rewind a tidbit of how you mentioned in your bio, just how work in the corporate world, you know, looking at the computer, reading emails, handling phone calls, gardening was something that started to basically relax you. And I want to kind of go back into that for the people that are in the working world, live a high-end life. How did you find time to get into this, and how did that finally become your thing? Like, okay, this is relaxing to me.
Yeah, and in a similar evolution, right? You start with a 4x6 garden plot when I was living in Texas, and I had been inspired early on. I spent summers on a goat farm. The gentleman who ran the goat farm would disappear into a thicket that he called his garden, come out with these two giant squash after rustling all the leaves. And, you know, he's like, here, this is dinner. And you're like, wow, that's pretty neat. So, you know, having that in the back of my head growing up in the early days on that goat farm. And then when I got my first home in Dallas, Texas, or Plano, Texas, I dug out a 4x6 plot and started growing your typical tomatoes, peppers, lettuces, et cetera. Totally different growing environment than currently we're in Northwest Indiana in zone 5B. Absolutely, you know, wetter, colder, later start to the growing season. So no matter where you're at, there's going to be that variability that you have to take into account. But starting from that 4x6 plot, you learn, you plant again, you learn some more. This year it's fungus. Next year it's bugs. Next year it's soil quality. Next year it's drought. You're constantly learning. And because your garden fails, doesn't mean your garden, you're not a gardener. You know, you only fail as a gardener when you quit gardening. So to be able to start something, and there's so much variety that I can try it this way and it can be successful, even though all the online has to be done this way. You know, this is why I'm a chef, not a baker. I'm not so good at following recipes to a T to the tablespoon, but I can whip up a bunch of ingredients and cook up a good meal, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I can imagine that part right there, just having something to look forward to is relaxing within itself, you know? So
yeah.
How about, well, since we're talking about relaxing, the browns part, the liquor would fall under the browns part. So let's talk about your love for liquor. So you out there, you got your music playing sometimes, right? And you relaxing. So you got this. This is a hobby or something you learned as a child has now turned into a business where you want to educate us. And now for the 21 and overs, you got the browns. So I want to talk. I'm not much of a drinker. I'm what they call a lightweight. But I love how you have some ingredients or some recipes on there. One is the old fashioned. Now that really did make me want to whip up some liquor. I probably still be laid out. But where did your love for the brown liquor come from?
Yeah, you know, it's really just a flavor profile. It's funny, you know, upon introspection or retrospection, you look back and you realize, you know, maybe liquor was more a part of celebrating than it should have been during my upbringing and formal, but I don't drink to excess currently, current day. I enjoy, you know, the refined flavors of a nice pour, a finger, two fingers, three fingers of whiskey, and to be able to pick out there's caramel and vanilla. And don't let me mistake you, I do not have an advanced palate. Oftentimes I can't pick up those flavors without reading tasting notes, but I've just always enjoyed brown liquor, whiskey more than bourbon. You know, I'm a simple guy. You give me an American whiskey over anything. And the variety of flavors that you get from just one liquor, right? You could say American whiskey, and that could come and present itself in so many different ways. It could be peppery. It could be sweet. It could be smoky. And I love, you know, as a small business owner myself, I see what some of these craft distilleries have evolved into as it relates to agriculture, right? Because we're talking about grain that's, you know, oats, barley, corn are all part of the mash bill that go into these things. Whiskey, actually, if you dig into the history of it, evolved as a store of value for early farmers. Then you get into some of the darker, more nefarious elements where they talk about moonshine and running whiskey when it was during Prohibition. But if I have a perishable crop in grain, you know, corn, barley, oats, or I can turn it into an adult alcoholic beverage that can sit in a barrel for an indeterminate amount of time. That's a way to store value. So that's how the whiskey trade began, and moving up and down the Mississippi, how you end up with Bourbon Street in New Orleans, and Kentucky is a center based on their climate and some of the earthen elements like the limestone that filters the water. It is so interconnected. When I started this, I had no idea. And obviously now, as you've gotten some celebrity hip hop personas that are getting into the whiskey and spirits industry, it's coming full circle. And, you know, when I started Beats, Beds and Browns, I definitely didn't anticipate the depth of how closely they're interrelated.
You taught me so much. I feel like I'm drunk just by listening. I'm like, man. I mean, because I've tried drunk to drink.
I like it. Drunk on knowledge.
Yes, I am very drunk on knowledge now, because I'm like, wow, you know, but you're right. I'm seeing a lot of hip hop artists, and this is just a great segue to what I'm going to bring up next. A lot of them are, you know, really are embarking in the liquor industry, which I think is absolutely dope. But we want to get into the hip hop version of you, because I mean, I've already went through a few layers and we still have to kind of go back. But there is this love of hip hop that you had. And one of the things that I saw while visiting your website that you attended, Renaissance of the People, that was on the 10th. That was located in Chicago. Can you paint me a picture? I saw some of the pictures on your website, but can you paint a picture of what that was like? So now we're in the hip hop portion. We're in the beats part of it. What was that experience like?
Yeah, you know, and I want to be open and honest about me as an attendee at the Renaissance of the Culture event. I didn't have a hand in planning that, but the people that did, the Real Water, Thought Poet 77, Shabazz are the co-host, up and down the lineup for performances, happened to overlap with a lot of our season one and season two all-stars. So I've been following these guys' careers for 3-4 years now, and have just been so impressed with how open and friendly they are. You know, they started interviewing with me when we had zero followers, some of these guys. So, you know, it's down one from day one, where they supported me before I had anything, and I want to be able to return that support. Along with those guys, there's up and comers, guys that are really surging right now. You know, we had Tyree Hakeem and Rufus Sims, we had Panamera P, Vic Spencer, who's a legend of the game. All those folks were online. We had Mr. Misfit, who we're going to interview here in season four. Rufus, we're going to interview in season four. These guys, they're the guys with tens of thousands of Instagram followers. These guys are making streaming revenue as artists. They're really underground artists that are emerging right now. So this Renaissance of the Culture event that was at Subterranean on the 10th was a collaboration with The Real Water, with Thought Poet, with Shabazz, with GQ the Teacher, and putting these artists together. And there were dozens of other artists in the building that evening that packed the house. And again, this isn't necessarily a Drake concert at the United Center where everybody knows every word of every song, but these are your diehard supporters in a small venue. And the vibe that was accomplished that night, it was just unmatched in any of the concerts that I've attended over the last 3 or 4 years. So it was a phenomenal event. The Great Thinkas, with Heavy Crowns, who we interviewed in season three, talking about getting dirty, planting seeds as a way to not only directly correlate with gardening, but then also talking about networking, building relationships with people in the industry. Just a phenomenal night. And I think one that'll be referenced as these artists emerge in the next couple of years as a real turning point for Chicago hip hop.
Isn't it something how you can go there and you see all this talent? And you can go, like you said, on a networking tip as well, because someone you mentioned is talking about planting seeds of knowledge and still, you know, pretty much planting your seeds so you can eat correctly. You know, I love that you talked about that portion, because when we were talking earlier, I said it gave me a vision of Crush Groove when everybody was just pretty much embracing hip hop. It wasn't a war. Everybody was out there with their own thing. And that's what I really enjoyed about you talking about that event. How often does that event take place?
So that was a one of its kind in the last 3 to 4 years. There have been an increase in the number of shows put on. AM Early Morning, Season 1 All-Star, has really been working hard to get not only local shows put together. He's been promoting his own album releases as well as bringing in guys from the East Coast scene like Rome Streets and Crime Apple. You've got the Wise Pirates, Jujilla, Pirate Ream, Panamera P, Jujilla and Nut G have been putting out tracks and organizing shows. Like, it's a lot of post-COVID activity that people coming out, you know, getting back out to live shows, and a lot of energy around, you know, creating content, distributing content, and putting the message out there. And then the supportive environment with the artists, I think, is where it originates. I know The Real Water has hosted networking events. There seemed to be a lot of hip-hop focused media. You talk about Crush Groove and that historic piece of history that outlines Def Jam and the birth of, you know, Russell Simmons, along with Beastie Boys, the Fat Boys, LL Cool J, just a real piece of hip-hop history. And you're getting that kind of vibe now with guys all guesting on everybody's album and a lot of cross-pollination. And again, collaboration just makes everybody better, right? You're getting more exposure to sounds. You're getting different beats, different producers, different lyricists working together. A high tide rises all ships in that environment. And we're definitely seeing that currently in Chicago's hip hop scene.
And you said it. I mean, you went way back to basically when I was loving it like that. So we're almost at the nearing end, but we cannot ever forget about the bed portion. So we've covered our beats and we've talked about the Browns. Today in your story, you mentioned in 1945, Americans grew 43% of their food. And today in 2024, Americans grow 0.1. I also know that it is very important for you to educate people on how to eat healthy, substantially, and inexpensively. So can you, let's tie all of the name of this corporation, your business, Beats, Beds, and Browns. Can you tell us the importance of why you created this?
Yeah, so the ultimate mission of Beats, Beds, and Browns is to put 100,000 seed kits in people's hands over the next 10 years. We're in the low five figures currently, and we've given out seeds across the country, the contiguous 48 states. It is shameful what our country's history has done to not only the small farmer, but the African-American farmer in particular, with unfair lending practices, unfair land ownership practices. And I want to see people get back to their farming roots, both the small farmer, the underserved farmer, whether it be women, veteran-owned, or minority. I want people to learn to grow their own food, to make a living or at least a partial income from their own food, whether it's market farming, whether it's agritourism, whether it's commercial production for healthcare, hospitality, hotel industries. You know, there's opportunities out there. You know, I'm recently appointed to the board of the Northwest Indiana Food Council, and part of their mission is food equity and food justice. So creating an equitable food economy to make sure that small farmers can grow and have access to market and sell the produce that they create, because it's not profitable to be a farmer currently. And at the very least, we should all be able to be growing subsistence gardens to help offset the, you know, inflationary costs related to groceries, inflationary cost increases tied to healthful eating. We shouldn't have to pay more for healthy food. And, you know, we shouldn't have to pay a premium for food that's grown without pesticides. That's unfortunately the impact of government interference in the food system. And that's not me having a radical opinion. That's just fact. They consolidated into large commercial farms. Those large commercial farms have the necessity to grow and increase output. And the way that they've selected to do that is, you know, mass produced chemicals dispersed upon the food that we eat. And now, you know, there's remnants of that in everything that we consume that's bought and sold through a grocery store. Putting the production on the individual consumer and having that in your own backyard, whether it's a herb plant or whether it's 20 tomato plants and squash plants, whatever it is, wherever you start, that's what I want. I want people to try it. I want people to start to grow their own food, to sprinkle some fresh dill on a piece of cod before you put it into the oven, make some pickles, can tomato sauce, whatever it is. It's reconnecting with those homestead traditions that have been passed down for hundreds of years that we're really in danger of losing. You know, we all maybe grew up in an environment, I'm in my mid 40s, in an environment where your grandparents had ball jars lined up in the basement, right? Or there was food stores that they grew and stored. You don't see that very often today. And I think we're worse off for it.
I do too. Everything you said, I think I saw something that went viral a while ago where somebody was peeling a cabbage and they began to boil the cabbage, I guess, just because. And come to find out, the cabbage appeared to be kind of fake, synthetic, which a lot of people believe that, you know, the food that we're purchasing is kind of like tied in what you said. It still is poisonous in a way. You know, it still can be synthetic if we aren't going either to the source, which is growing it ourselves, or to, like you said, the farmers, the people that are taking care of it. I think everything that you talked about is so important and so informative that I'm going to put it out here. I would love to have a part two as far as getting people interested, more interested in what you have going on. I mean, it's a whole movement. So I have definitely enjoyed going on your page. And can you tell people where they can find you so they can look at the interviews that you've done with the hip hop artists, and you're also showing people what they can do to garden. So can you let them know where they can find you?
Absolutely. Regardless of if you're a hip hop head, a gardener, or enjoy some fine brown spirits, we've got something for you at Beach Beds Browns, your social media of choice. We're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I encourage you to check out our interviews on YouTube. Not only do we have some instructional content out there, but we've interviewed Indiana State Senator Earl Harris Jr. on the urban agriculture bill. We've interviewed Tulip Tree Gardens, a commercial CBD grower and farm that's also balancing some of their revenue needs with market farming and CSAs. We've got a Michelin-rated chef, Sakari Smithwick. We've got Windy City Mushroom, pushing the fungitarian movement, the mushroom diet on people. It really is a breath of fresh air. And we're covering real talk. We're just going on in real talk. Where you been, where you going, and where you're from is the question we ask everybody to get going. Casual conversation. We're talking about business wins and losses. We're talking about the struggles that people face as emerging artists, marketing and promotion, your streaming platforms, you name it, we cover it. And again, I think these are conversations that are beneficial not only to the artists, but definitely beneficial to me. And if you find that you tap in and you gain some benefit out of it, please share. That's the best thing you can do for an emerging artist or a podcaster or anything. Let them know that you hear them and that what you think. It really is valuable.
Yeah, it's definitely, I'm just coming right behind you. It is definitely any platform that you are going on is very informative. It is for everybody, you know. So like you said, you don't have to be into hip hop, but I learned just in watching how he does make the packets and he's willing to send them to you. Just go on there and see, you know. I learned a lot just by going on your website and the dialogue that you do create for people to just have their platform. So it's been just an awesome conversation between you and I, and basically how it's very important to grow your food. Don't forget, you know, and again, the hip hop conversation, I'm so glad that you got a chance to attend. It sounds like it's growing and upcoming. Is there anything else you want to leave the listeners with?
Make sure you tap in, gently smash the subscribe button on YouTube, visit our website, beatsbedsbrowns.com, get your free seed kit, take part in the 100K in 10 years, hashtag on all of our social media, and most importantly, Keisha, I want to thank you for the opportunity. I really enjoyed cutting it up with you today.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, my special guest, founder of Beats, Beds, and Browns, Mr. Joe Skibbe. And remember, go by these three things and you can't go wrong. Perseverance, curiosity, and getting the big picture. And I think we got the big picture, so you covered all of that. Ladies and gentlemen, again, Mr. Joe Skibbe. Thank you again, Joe.
Thank you, Keisha. Thanks to your followers and listeners as well. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
Bye now.